Red Pill News. That's right, man. How you guys doing out there tonight? How are you really? How are you inside? I want to know how you are. I don't care how your neighbor is. Yeah, I do. I care how you are, because nobody ever asks how you are, do they? You know, they always tell you how they are. You know, I dump on people too. Oh man, I don't care if you're a cashier. I don't care if you ask me, hey, how are you doing, sir? Oh, so you ask me how I'm doing. Well, I'll give you 25 minutes of negativity. Blast you. What the hell's going on? How I'm doing? My God. They don't want to hear that crap, especially some minimum wage employee, you know? You know, they just don't want to hear it. So why even ask? Don't even ask people how they're doing. How you doing? How you doing? Oh, do you really want to know? Because I'll tell you. I'm not going to just give you some you know, neutral answer. Oh, I'm okay. Ah! Anyway, how about Dave Portnoy? I don't even know who Dave Portnoy is, but I automatically know that I like him because he came out with this sex tape, and his sex tape partner, I kind of like her too, because they both came out as consenting adults. They both, you know, usually when these things come out, the women come out and they'll say, I was raped, I was abused, I was forced into doing it, he destroyed my will, and I had no will of my own, so I submitted to his, and barked like a dog and squealed like a pig, you know, like that. And they go to court, and they say, you know, bang, this is what this evil man did to me. And this has been a constant song that people sing. But, all right. So David Portnoy, this is like all in the headlines. So that's what I'm talking about. David Portnoy's sex tape partner has stepped forward. A clip began doing the rounds earlier this week that showed the Barstool Sports boss naked, sitting astride a blonde woman who is equally naked, except for a black leather dog collar she had around her neck and the metal leash that Portnoy was holding. It turns out that his companion was Instagram model Sydney Rains. So in the video, Portnoy can be seen somewhat vigorously yanking Rains' neck around by the leash. Let's see. Sydney Rains responded, I became aware yesterday that a video has surfaced on the internet, and yes, that was me. It's hard to believe that a video from the past is just coming to light, but it was never meant to be public. Some might not approve of the video content, but it was entirely consensual, and it's unfortunate that it no longer is private, but we are still friends with no animosity between us. That's like amazing to me. When do women ever say that these days? Oh my God. Is this that Nawalt? Or is there something else afoot? She said, people need to realize that we all endure obstacles in our lives. Obstacles like a dog collar and a chain. And this just happens to be mine. I won't label this as a mistake, as we both have taken responsibility for it. But the fact that it was leaked and posted without our aware and consent would be considered, it's terrible. Some might not approve. I love that. Who cares what people approve of? Life is too short. Are you going to live your life by somebody else's approval or somebody else's crappy judgment or looking at you saying you're not living your life properly and I'm going to judge you? Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. You could have a whole glass full of kiss my ass. She added, I won't label this a mistake. I love that. But since we both take it, see, that's cool, man. But do you think, though, it's a mystery on how this little clip came about? Or did she share the clip to get all this hoopla so she could pump up her Instagram account and her OnlyFans where she poses naked and does all her stuff anyway? This girl is no stranger to being naked. Good for her. Got it, flaunt it. I don't care what people do, as long as it doesn't hurt somebody else or something else. That's as simple as I am. Simple, simple. You don't hurt people, you don't hurt animals. I like you. You're all right. You know, everybody's got their damn problems in this world. Everybody. So, Rain seems to suggest that she expected there to be repercussions for whoever was responsible for the leak by adding the fact that it was leaked and posted. Oh, come on, man. You know who posted it. It's a secret, right? She said now she plans to go and continue her daily life without vexation. Naked. Sitting in front of her window so people can see. And signed the note with no apologies, Sydney. With a picture of her at the beach with a little bikini, with her legs apart, a little big smile. Man, she has white teeth. Cute girl. You know what I mean? Sure. Portnoy also addressed the video after stocks in his company that owned Barstool, Penn National Gaming, took a hit as the video hit the web. El Presidente responded with a video on Twitter saying, "A stock is down because somebody had consensual sex? Are you effing kidding me?" He even urged his followers to buy Penn's shares while the price was lower. "I would jump on this dip and I would F-U-Z-K it, no pun intended." He would pull on that leather dog collar on that stock. And that's all it is with these people, man. It's the money. It's the money. But this is the first. I like that story because this girl was like a breath of fresh air considering what the hell's all the Me Too people. And I can't believe what happened. He made me massage his shoulders. He touched my hand and told me I had pretty eyes. Ah! And that's as simple as that. Like all the stuff Cuomo's going through. Andrew Cuomo, governor of New York, who basically, this guy, I said this a long time ago, and now people are echoing my sentiment about Andrew Cuomo, right? He's like a mafia dude who breaks all the laws, does all the wrong stuff, but he expects everybody else to toe the line, and he gets offended when someone else breaks the law, you know what I mean? And then this dude, a long time ago, when he was Attorney General for New York State, and Elliot Spitzer was the governor, and of course he had to step down because he got caught in a scandal with prostitutes, and you know he was married to his wife, and then he was out with these prostitutes. Meanwhile, there was Cuomo going after prostitution rings all throughout New York State and down the city, and whatever prostituting, getting it all done. Right? And they said, he was going after people on Wall Street, whatever. So he would target somebody on Wall Street. They'd bring him up on a bunch of charges. And the lawyers all said to the news, to everybody, same thing, that if you wanted to sit down with Andrew Cuomo, at that time, Attorney General Andrew Cuomo, about your court case, you had to give him a campaign donation, a $50,000 donation. We'll get you, the big Wall Street guy's lawyer, a sit down with Cuomo's people, and they can mess around with the charges or not do charges or, you know, have all charges dismissed or whatever they do, right? It's bribery. Any normal person would say, well, that's bribery. Well, you're right, Michael. It is bribery. That's damn smart that you said that. Yeah. But at the same time, this guy doesn't want to pay attention to his own rules. Then builds a faulty bridge, and then bolts are breaking off of that bridge. He named it after his father, Mario Cuomo. Now the bridge could collapse at any time, like his father, Mario Cuomo, back in the day. You know? But they built this bridge. They did an inspection. Cuomo bragged it was done under time and under budget, like a dollar under budget, you know? Under time, under budget. That's cool. All these bolts breaking off. And then they said, this is very dangerous. This was a few years ago. Right after they built it, they said, This is dangerous. People shouldn't be crossing this bridge, blah, 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 blah. They buried the story, another bridge gate, where they didn't want to talk about it, you know? And then what are they waiting for? I mean, this is replaced the Tappan Zee Bridge. You guys, I have an international audience, man. We're out in 181 countries proudly, right? Even got a handful of people in Cambodia listening, stuff like that. That's right. I'm talking to you. You guys don't know this bridge probably unless you've been over it. And it's probably not so that you have been, even though, you know, of course, if you're in a metro area of the city, you probably have been over the bridge. Anyway. The Tappan Zee Bridge of the past was so bad that they had to, it broke through, like there was holes going through the bottom of the bridge, and you could see water, daylight, whatever's shining through. They put these big, thick metal plates, bolted them into the ground on top of these holes. So as you're driving over these plates, you're like, ba-boom, 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 your car, ba-boom, ba-boom. And you know you're driving over these giant holes, you know, that you're hundreds of feet up from the water, man. Yeah, that's living right there. Where you don't know if you're going to be able to cross that bridge safely. That's living. So they replaced the bridge. Good. They needed to. It was a mess. Then this funky new design, all funky. Looks like a big harp type of thing. Then they come out saying, well, the bolts broke off under stress. You know, the bridge is not good. It's dangerous. Could collapse at any time. The official report from the engineers is that the bridge could collapse at any time. Now, this is a bridge that has bumper-to-bumper traffic, buses, trucks, cars, whatever you can think of, stopping for several minutes at a time. Imagine a situation that goes above the Hudson River. Imagine it's 100 degrees out, bridge is packed solid, both sides, high winds, going up down the Hudson. Do you think that at some point a stress overload could collapse that bridge and basically kill everybody? And this is something that Cuomo's considered that, you know, they don't want to talk about, right? So, like there is so many things about the guy that's dirty and shiesty, but here he is not stepping down after he called for other people, Republicans, to step down. I mean, he went after Trump vehemently about all kinds of stuff. And here's this guy just being this dirty douche. Got $4 million for writing his book about what a great job he did in the pandemic, right? And meanwhile, all those people died in those nursing homes because of his stuff. So anyway, we're going to talk about the bad side of women and also greed. I think greed is a lot. Humans have a problem with greed, man, you know, big time. And it's gluttony. It's always been. It's part of desire. It's part of the human nature, but it doesn't have to be. It's something that, you know, you can also control, right? Anyway, Lao Tzu said there was no greater curse than desire. So, yeah, Dr. Dre, love Dr. Dre, great artist, you know, rapper, writer, producer, all kinds of stuff. A guy who literally rose from the streets and became something substantial, right? Dr. Dre. Dr. Dre's alleged mistresses are now ordered to testify in his big money divorce. So, three of Dr. Dre's alleged mistresses have been ordered to testify in his divorce case, according to a recent ruling. The three women, Jillian Spear, Kiki Anderson, and Crystal Rogers, a.k.a. Crystal Sierra. I used to love that drink. Remember? What was that, Sierra Mist? have been fighting to stay out of the bitter divorce case, but Dr. Dre's estranged wife, Nicole Young, won a round in court this month when it was ruled that the trio can be deposed. A lawyer for the women, Chris LaFan, previously filed a motion to quash subpoenas compelling them to testify, reportedly stating none of them has information relevant to the enforceability. So of the prenuptial agreement, basically, which Dr. Dre and Nicole are battling in court. So Dr. Dre has Nicole Young sign a prenuptial agreement before they get married, right? Like a lot of wealthy people. But as you know, in especially liberal courts, prenups don't last long. They don't go too far. They're not really worth even the paper they're written on for the most part. It really depends on the judge, right? and their agenda, whatever their agenda is, because a lot of these judges now have agendas, apparently. Okay. So Dr. Dre is fighting for the hard-earned money that he made, he himself, that this woman didn't contribute to at all, not any of it. But they got the prenup, and you think that'd be rock solid. Okay? All right? So according to a court ruling filed last week in L.A. Superior Court, the discovery referee in the case, David Weinberg, concluded each of them may have information relevant to the issue of temporary support and fees, as well as the validity and enforceability of the alleged premarital agreement. So he's saying that the girlfriends are going to have some kind of information that's pertinent to this woman, his wife, receiving money. And or any kind of prenup that Dr. Dre may have discussed with these women, which is ridiculous. But okay, Weinberg added, their depositions may be taken narrowly tailored to those discrete subject matters. Young's side is seeking to learn about the alleged relationships and whether Dre lavished the woman with money and gifts during the marriage. The court also ruled that Dre and the women's sides must pay nearly $10,000 in sanctions, $2,500 apiece, court records show, since their resistance to this request was without substantiation. So it's all just money, right? Money, money, money. Court wants money. The woman wants money. A previous filing for the woman's lawyer didn't address whether they had had affairs with Dre, but their attorney, LaFan, reported, wrote in papers, any extramarital affair would be irrelevant because California is a no-fault divorce state, and in a pleading or proceeding for dissolution of marriage or legal separation of the parties, evidence of specific acts of misconduct is improper and inadmissible. So there you go. It's no fault. Bam, 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 bam. And no fault with that prenup. So you think that the woman probably would get not very much, right? Ah, really. Dre has previously vehemently denied reports about any past romantic link to Anderson, a former model, behind a beauty line called Skin and Senses. Rogers co-wrote a tune that was once included on Dr. Dre compilation album, while Spear is a single and singer-songwriter. All right. Dr. Dre and Nicole. Is it also Dr. Nicole? Like Dr. Dre, Dr. Nicole? Did he get rid of that title? You know? He's Dr. Dre. He needs to call her Nurse Nicole or something. We're married for 24 years. Long time, man. For Hollywood, for music business, long 24 years. You know why? Because he's never around. He's always on tour, always out there making money, working his ass off, while she's sitting in this big, lavish mansion, traveling all over the world, private aircraft, the whole bit, man, and, you know, champagne, cocaine, everything included for 24 years. You think she would have had that life without Dr. Dre? If it was, you know, Plumber Dre? Do you think that, or Plumber, or Electrician Dre? Do you think she'd have that kind of life at $45 an hour, Dre? Unless she was out there working. You see, and this is me. If you're in a relationship with someone and you're both contributing to that business and you both grow the business together, you both deserve an equal share of it. No problem. But if it's the guy, especially if he was a very wealthy and famous beforehand and he already had this money, he already had this momentum of fame, and here comes a woman, yeah, you fall in love, he gets married. The worst possible thing to do is goddamn get married. I don't know why people do it. It's a bad business deal. You get all high of yourself, you know, drunk in love. Oh, got to get married. Put a ring on the finger. Why? You know why? Because of this. All right. Dre's paying Young nearly $2 million in monthly temporary support payments. $2 million a month? $2 million. Dollars a month with a prenup, $2 million a month, a temporary spousal support. as their blockbuster video, blockbuster video. That's where my brain is at. Divorce plays out. The couple has been battling over a prenup since filing for divorce last June. Nicole, 51 years old, has painted Dre as a control freak who forced her to sign the prenup under extreme duress. On their wedding day, Dre, 56, claims the prenup is legit. Yo, yo, man, it's legit. The priest said, do you take this woman to be your wife? My lawyer jumped out and with the prenup, put it on the priest's back and it said, sign on a dotted line. Or I ain't saying nothing. And she signed. That's it. That's my story. And I'm sticking with it. He had me under duress. Oh, it was the worst day of my life. Yeah, when she got married to the cash cow and had 24 years of mansion living, of worldwide travel, of everything, the best of everything that he gave to her, right? Oh, under duress. And oh, you wouldn't believe what women say about you after a relationship is over. You know, I'm going through that now with character assassination and the stuff that's being said. You know, it's insane. But you have to understand, when you're with people, they're going to show you at different times of who they really are, you know, and you need to open your eyes and see that. So, all right. She's getting $2 million a month. $2 million a month. In case you can't do math, that's $24 million a year, right? Living pretty good. And she's complained about that. Nicole also accuses the Beats multimillionaire in court papers of abuse. Of course, they got to say abuse. He was abusive to me. He made me live in that mansion. He made me wear that jewelry. He made me shop. He made me travel around the world with my friends on a private airplane. He made me do all that. I didn't want to do it. I wanted to stay in an apartment and be happy. That's all, working a job as a secretary, living my life. He took me from that life, and I resent it. 24 years I dedicated, and look what I get. Only $2 million a month. Of guilty of abuse. So abuse that was so bad, she now has post-traumatic stress syndrome. Now it's syndrome. I thought it was disorder. Did it go from a disorder to a syndrome and nobody told me? I can't say PTSD. I got PTSS. That's horrible. But Dre has strongly denied the abuse claim. He said, that's bullshit. I didn't touch it. Case closed. She's lying. He actually said that he fired back on his own recent legal docs that her allegations were all part of the ploy to get out of their prenup. Dr. Dre is reportedly worth about $800 million. Nicole also alleged that Dre's recent song lyrics were threatening to her, but she was denied a restraining order. Nicole is being repped by power attorney Samantha Spector. Dre's hotshot lawyer is Laura Wasser. None of the parties commented. Doesn't sound like a party at all if they don't comment. So there you have it. Dr. Dre. All that talk on those albums about blowing people away. You ever listen to that? You shoot people, whatever. I'm like, that's pretty much the album, man. You know, I do like rap music. Love Snoop Dogg. Dr. Dre, too. They all really have their thing. You know, they do whatever, man. I like old school, too. Run DMC, going back in the day. They worked clean, Run DMC. You know, Chuck D, Public Enemy. That's like the gangster rapper's conscience, Chuck D. And then it kind of morphed into all the gangster stuff. But fine. Whatever, man. To me, it's like cartoons or like comic books when I listen to all this stuff. You know, I mean, it is what it is. But it's funny on how like these gold diggers, you know, she had the prenup. She signed it. She didn't have to sign it. She was under duress and he forced her to sign it, right? I mean, that's just incredible. And it's a story that we hear often with these divorces, especially when the guy is worth an incredible amount of money, the woman comes along, and then boom. I mean, you know what? Look at Bezos and his divorce, right? But his wife helped him build the company, helped him build Amazon. She was a part of it. See, and then she walked away with a truckload of money. That's fine. Who has a problem with that? Nobody realistically would, because she worked for those goals. But like, you know, Nicole Young, Dr. Dre's world, she did nothing. She sat there on her ass while he went out and worked. And then he made the money. He supported her the entire time. Now she's still getting millions of dollars. $2 million a month? I could live the rest of my life on $2 million. 1 month of her support, I could live the rest of my life and be happy. A lot of people could. And that's the crazy, that's the crazy spastic part of life, isn't it? So speaking of spastic, here's Governor Cuomo. Cuomo staffers dispute claim that they volunteered. I should read this how he talks, because he's got this condescending thing. Like, you're so freaking stupid. You don't understand me. So I have to talk like this so you know what the frig I'm saying, because you're a freaking idiot. That's what he said. Don't drive across the bridge I named after my father. It'll collapse faster than the Democratic Party trying to chase me out of office. Cuomo staffers dispute claim they volunteered to work on his book. So aides to the New York, I know, I won't talk like that, I'm sorry. Aides to New York Governor Andrew Cuomo are pushing against his administration's claim that they volunteered to help with his pandemic memoir. It was revealed on Thursday. Several current and former Cuomo staffers told the Times Union that their work on the best-selling book was expected despite not being official government work. So basically, he had people work on his book and do all these things, but they're being paid in New York money, New York dollars, government dollars for government jobs, but their work is not going for a government thing. It's for a private thing for him, right? So they said it was not optional, said one former aide who was among those asked to perform tasks related to Cuomo's tomb. Out was never really an option. The ex-staffer, who wasn't named, added that there was a clear expectation that we would do political work to help with his campaign and run the governor's personal errands in the executive chamber. It was reported late last month that junior staffers and top aides Melissa DeRosa and Stephanie Benton assisted the governor with drafts of his book, a potential violation of state laws that prohibit the use of public resources for personal gain. A Cuomo spokesman denied any wrongdoing involving the governor's book, which Crown Publishing Group stopped promoting last month due to the federal investigation into his administration's handling of nursing homes and other long-term care facilities amid the COVID-19 pandemic. As is permissible and consistent with ethical requirements, people who volunteered on this project did so on their own time, spokesman Rich Azupardi said. Rich Azupardi. I don't know, man. I feel very, very mafia-esque reading all this and seeing this guy. Here's Cuomo doing some weird stuff. But a source with knowledge of the situation told the Times Union it was patently ridiculous that junior staffers had volunteered on the book and said the work was done during daily government duties. So what do you think? You think Cuomo should have got shot out of a cannon for that? the scandal, you know what I mean? Now you're not hearing so much about the women that he grabbed and fondled or whatever he did. Now we're getting back to more of the corpses that were created during his administration, during the COVID thing when he thought he was doing such a great job. But meanwhile, all these people in nursing homes were dying because of the rules that he himself put in place and then denied daily as I watched him on television during those first couple months of the pandemic and how arrogant he was talking to people, you know. Okay. So here's a story that tells you about life. Life in of itself. And you got to be happy unto yourself, man. So my mom is dying right now. She's in a hospice care. Matter of fact, right this second, she's in a hospital. And, 5 weeks ago, she was working a full-time job, doing her thing. We know that her cancer had come back. They were going to put on a different treatment plan. And then she basically, started giving her a new chemo. After the second treatment, she hit the floor and then just had no energy and whatever. They determined that she had several strokes. And now she doesn't even know what year it is, basically, and has got a lot of issues and is not eating or drinking or taking care of herself or whatever. So, you know, and it kills you. I mean, that's my mom. You know, it's something I've cried rivers of tears daily. So it makes you think about life, man, your life, your mortality, especially one of your parents, you know. And you have to be happy unto yourself. You can't live by somebody else's rule. You know, you have to do what makes you happy. And, I dedicated 14 years of my life to someone and that situation is over. And you think that all that work and all that stress and all the stuff that had went on, and it was very challenging, you know, because of the situation, you know, and you have to pick things up from, you can't look at it like, hey, you know, I wasted my time or something, or, you know, these people didn't appreciate what I did or whatever. It's what you get out of it, and it's what you put into it, right? And that's what life is every day. So then, you know, God looks down on you and does what God does. And people say, oh, you know, why do people suffer and all these other things? You know, people suffer because of they have a body, the human condition. People suffer because of greed. Because I 100% believe that there's cancer drugs out there that give people that would stop cancer in its tracks and end it. I mean, look how fast they came out with this COVID vaccine, which is a cancer drug. It's a cancer drug. And then they just used it and tapped it. And within a few months, boom, here it is. That's killing the virus. So I know that they're different, but they're not that different. But it just goes to show you that there's a reason why people don't trust politicians and doctors and whatnot, hospital systems, maybe the hospital systems more than the individual doctor, you know. But as I've guided my mom through this process, you know, and dealt with all kinds of healthcare professionals and all that, you realize that they really don't give a crap. Maybe the nurses come in, they'll smile, they'll be nice, some of them anyway. Some of them be nasty, you know. I mean, it depends, right? It's people. But give me a nasty doctor who knows what he's doing than a nice doctor who doesn't. So that's where my head is at. But God takes care of you one way or the other, and we learn our lessons in life. So this story grabbed me. Man, 97, killed after driver jumps to curb in Brooklyn, right? So you think the guy's 97 years old. I mean, I don't want to be 97. You want to be 97? I guess you don't have much of a choice unless you're willing to jump off a building or something, you know, or go on that Cuomo Bridge and wait for it to collapse. 97 years old, right? So a 97-year-old man was killed when a driver jumped the curb in Brooklyn, striking the senior and forcing him into the glass doors of a bank. That would have been crazy for people in that bank. You know, like, it's just one of those days. He's the old man crushed from a car. Volt Furman was sitting on his walker on Brighton Beach Avenue near Brighton 4th Street around 3:45 p.m. So this guy, 97 years old, sitting on his walker, watching the traffic go by, probably thinking, You know, I want to die. I don't want to be here. And maybe this bank can get robbed. Someone shoot me in the head. I want to die. I want to die. So, okay. okay, so sitting there at 3:45 Wednesday, when a 79-year-old man driving a 2008 Cadillac Escalade mounted the curb as he tried to pull out of a parking spot. Now, you're sitting on the sidewalk near the doors of a bank. Okay, obviously the sidewalk can't be all that big. Here's a 2008 Cadillac Escalade. You know, those big ass, the big, like the GMC Suburban or whatever is like their, you know, or Chevy Suburban, whatever the hell it is. They're all kind of the same. They're big like that, right? It's a Suburban with a Cadillac emblem on it and a couple of tweaks. So the guy's trying to pull out of a spot and ends up jumping the curb and killing this dude. So I guess maybe he was trying to pull out, then maybe backed up. I don't know. But I was thinking about, like, how the hell that happened. So he ran him over. He's trying to pull out of a parking spot. The driver struck the 97-year-old, and pinning him between the doors of the Apple Bank and the front bumper of the Escalade. When Apple meets Escalade, responding officers found Ferdman, who lives in the neighborhood, with body trauma and rushed him to NYU Langone Hospital in Brooklyn, where he was later pronounced dead, unfortunately. But look at this dude. They got a picture of him. He's got all these medals, man, like he was in the war. Like, he's got medals upon medals. I don't know what they mean, but, man, they got a lot of them. So he did stuff. He probably saved lives. Here he is sitting in Brooklyn thinking, I'm old, you know? And what do you think when you're 97? I remember those days. And all of a sudden, a Cadillac Escalade jumps the curb and kills you, man. I mean, that's the way to go. If you're going to go, I mean, that's the way to go. I mean, it sounds painful, maybe. If I'm going to go, I'm going to take like a massive, massive bit of like fentanyl, right? And just go. And go. Just go. You know? Or be a daredevil. I'd be like that old daredevil. There's an old cancer-ridden daredevil coming again to jump the Grand Canyon in his supercar. That's right. Take a $10 million policy out on myself. And just go, you know, just do it all, man. Do everything. You know what? What if you only had 6 months? What if you only had that time? What would you do? Would you sit there inside? And you ever see a movie, Joe versus the Volcano? Tom Hanks, man. I like Tom Hanks in some movies. Some movies I can't stand him. Forrest Gump, you know. Basically some idiot taking credit for a whole bunch of stuff people did, but that's just the whole thing. But Joe versus the Volcano. So Tom Hanks works for this crappy business. Every day is mundane, gray, dead. He's dead every day. You know, I mean, no life, no nothing, no girl in his life or worth anything. And he goes to see this doctor because he thinks he's sick all the time. He used to be a fireman, right? And then he had some episode, and then he was afraid, you know, scared. So he got this job at this company, medical supply company. And it's a really funny movie. You should watch it anyway. I'm not going to go through all the way. Anyway, in the movie, he basically finds out from this doctor that he's got, what he said, a brain cloud. And he's like, what? He's like, a brain cloud. But the doctor was this other guy's doctor who was just feeding him a line because they basically wanted him to jump into a volcano so this wealthy guy could mine a very important thing for his batteries on that island. And only that island has that type of stuff. So he goes on this adventure, this journey to jump into a volcano. And it's full of gynocentrism, actually, unfortunately. They really shove it down your throat, you know. Not as bad as the movies do now, you know. But really, it's an interesting movie and premise on how the guy really discovered what life is and living in the moment and being alive. What being alive means. And the guy even said, you know, here's a whole bunch of credit cards. Here's a whole bunch of money. Buy whatever you want. You can be there in this place in 2 weeks. Jump into a volcano. You're done. 2 weeks. you know, and leave a legacy, whatever, 2 weeks, and then do what you do, right? And then otherwise the guy was going to sit there in his apartment staring at this crappy walls in the city, some broken down apartment, and just die, you know? So what's the point of just dying? What's the point of going into that cancer suite and dying? You know, what's the point of going and being poked and prodded by doctors that they're just going to take data and make you some science experiment? You know what I mean? I sat with my mom in that cancer suite. I saw those people, you know, including her and the suffering from the chemotherapy and all the effects it has. You know, I mean, at that point, you have the tumor cut out of you, and then you don't do the chemo. You know what I mean? Well, it's going to prolong your life 6 months, but then you're going to be in pain that whole time or longer, you know? And then all for them to do constant CAT scans and other scans and all these things where they're making literally hundreds of thousands of dollars off of you in that time, you know? And don't you think that there's a money aspect to it? You know, but if it's not helping anybody, I mean, you know, maybe if cancer's localized, it'd be treated and you're done. But once it's in your internal organs, you're pretty much there, you know, but whatever. It all comes down to how you live your life. So speaking of living life, what about aliens, man? Aliens are becoming omnipresent in our lives. You see it, the government's talking about new reports being, you know, coming out in the whole bit. But now here's another report. Aliens might not be friendly, but they might not be friendly. Experts' dire warning. So here it is. Ronald Reagan said a long time ago, when reporters asked him about aliens, he's like, what do you want me to do? Say, yeah, there's aliens, and yeah, they're a threat. You idiot. Next question. People are like, what? What did he just say? I don't recall. So, all right. Michio Kaku, a professor of theoretical physics at City College of New York. Ah, what a job. That's my dream job. Theoretical physics. You just get to think, sit and think shit up all day long. And you don't have to prove anything. Oh, it's a theory. I've got a theory. It's going to take me 400 licks to get to the center of that Tootsie Roll Tootsie Pop. I think your theory's wrong. I think it's going to be 500. Okay, let's find out. You get your 2-3 million a year in grants. Yeah, theoretical science. I love it, man. Anyway, he is a professor of theoretical science at City College in New York and all-around pop science icon, and he's issued a warning about extraterrestrials and efforts to seek them out. He said, I think it's a terrible idea, the 74-year-old astrophysicist said. Kaku, perhaps best known for his contributions to string theory, spoke to The Guardian about his new book, The God Equation, which covers temporary movements in science and technology. Contemporary. But his interview took a spacey turn. So, in the past, Kaku had theorized that humans may meet their extraterrestrial counterparts within this century. While the prospect might sound thrilling, for many, Kaku is more cautious than eager to make contact. We all know what happened to Montezuma when he met Cortez in Mexico so many hundreds of years ago, he said, alluding to the disastrous demise of the 16th century Aztec emperor, which was instigated basically by what he seemed to be a friendship of convenience with Spanish conquistador Hernan Cortez. Cortez's amiable acquaintance would devolve into the fall of the Aztec Empire as Spanish colonizers usurped powers over native peoples. Yeah, it happens all the time. Not just to them. It's happened to other people too. But how can you judge, now can you judge alien life, extraterrestrial life, with human-based emotions and what humans do? I mean, just by comparing that shows you that really his theoretical science is off the wall. Because number one, if alien life knew about us, and I'm sure that they do, they could have already destroyed us a million times over anytime that they want. And I will tell you that because I know that. So they're more like shepherds instead of what you might consider destroyers of worlds, right? Not saying that everything out there isn't all copacetic, man. Not saying that there isn't alien life to have a lust for disaster and power. So probably sending all these probes out there with gold records saying that, hey, look at us. We're earthlings. Come on. You know, we're very vulnerable species. We need to breathe air, eat water, and drink food. Otherwise, we die. I think that in of itself is a stupid thing to do. All right. So either way, worlds colliding is pretty bad and was bad for the Aztecs, but bad for anybody, right? He said, now, personally, I think that aliens out there would be friendly, but we can't gamble on it. So I think we'll make contact. It should be very carefully. I don't know. I watch a lot of movies with aliens, and mainly they're trying to eat us. Right? Soon, we'll have NASA James' Webb telescope up in orbit, and we'll have thousands of planets to look at, and that's pretty exciting. And that's why I think the chances are quite high that we might make contact with alien civilization. Again, his theoretical physics is bullcrap, because number one, it doesn't matter if you have a super great telescope. If you're looking at something out there in the universe, it takes sometimes millions of light years, you know, or at least thousands of light years for that light to reach us. So essentially, we are looking back in time, if you want to think of it like that, because of the distance, and anyone looking at us is looking back in time. So, you know what? The light of the Earth from 2,000 years ago, when Jesus Christ was supposedly walking around, is just reaching those planets that are 2,000 light years away, you know, and people on those planets, if there are any observing us, would see time in the past, not in the present, unless you were there. Unless you were there, right? So recently, Kaku made another alarming prediction for the near future of self-replicating robots in a 15-minute video for The Big Think. The scientists discussed the prospect of sending clone bots to help. I thought he just watched like a Will Smith movie. He probably fell asleep during a Will Smith movie about robots and then woke up thinking that's what could happen, right? Theoretical physics, my ass. You want theoretical physics? You look at the back of the day when people, Gene Roddenberry and people like that were visionaries. They're condemned, but these guys were visionaries for science for the future. And if you want to invent something from an idea, you can invent something from an idea. An idea, so you can invent something from nothing, because essentially that idea is just nothing, something going on in your head. And then you come up with it, you build it. You know, you invent it for what people need, and then it's tangible, it's solid, it's something that's real from a creation from you. So keep in mind that people also do that, you know. But I think if there's advanced life, which I know that there is, they're not going to be looking at us. They're going to be looking at us like kittens and puppies. They're not going to be looking at us like a threat to them, you know. And look at the human race. And I have a whole weird thing going on with the COVID thing and vaccine and how everybody's kind of just mainlining this stuff. I don't know, man. It's very weird. It's a very weird feeling and a very contrived feeling. But, you know, as you see things unfolding, it is what it is. But anyway, that's the red pill news. You know what the red pill is? The red pill is a tool to understand people. It's not something, oh, stay away from people and whatever, or, you know. I mean, there's red pill references for the MGTOW movement and that type of thing, of men going their own way, and there's men who shut women out, whatever. You know what? I love women too much to shut them out. I love being with women, and I love feeling in love, man, but you need to control yourself. You need to control yourself in the way where nobody else controls you. And as long as you have that common respect with somebody else, man, and you know what they're capable of, and they know what you're capable of, and you know what's inside of them, they know what's inside of you, then you could have something good. I believe that. So the red pill is a tool to use for your own balance. It's a balancing tool. Use it. It will not fail. This is me on the Red Pill News. I'll see you guys next week on this show. You know what? And check in the Paranormal News every Tuesday, 8 p.m. United Public Radio Network, 8 p.m. Eastern, man. Paranormal News, all the titles, all the headlines, all the cool stuff from that week of news and books and all kinds of cool stuff that comes out. Anyway, this is me on United Public Radio Network, UPRN, talkradio.com, 107.5, New Orleans, 104.7, and Pass Christian, 180.